This is Weekend Edition. President Donald Trump came to office promising to befriend the American auto industry. As Daniel Howes of the Detroit News explains, his tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum might be less than friendly.
Doesn't matter to Donald Trump what his fellow Republicans say, or what Wall Street and Americans' closest allies say. The president wants tariffs on imported steel and aluminum, and this week he got them, along with some last-minute carve-outs for those national security threats known as Canada and Mexico. Where to start? Maybe with the improvisational policymaking, as White House staffers scrambled to put details behind the president's tariff tweets. Business and foreign capitals asked questions no one seemed able to answer. Automakers begged not to be rendered uncompetitive. Iconic exports like Harley-Davidson motorcycles, Kentucky bourbon, and Levi's jeans quickly became targets for retaliation by the European Union. And just for good measure, remnants of the Trans-Pacific Partnership coalition revived and quickly signed a slimmed-down trade deal without that pesky American president who seems to think he's Dwight Eisenhower and it's the 1950s all over again. Like too much else with Trump, this would be comic if it wasn't so tragic. Will costs for steel and aluminum go higher for Detroit's automakers? They already are. Will foreign governments respond with tariffs of their own? Count on it. Could a global trade tit-for-tat undercut the economic growth accelerating in the wake of tax reform? Of course it could. Why do you think congressional Republicans are so apoplectic? It's not because their high-minded principle opposes tariffs. It's because any job losses or economic slowdown pegged to Trump's tariff tirade could be blamed on Republicans in the midterm elections. That's a whole lot of not good if you're one of them. Look, there's a case to be made for getting tough with steel dumpers from China and Russia and Brazil. Target them. But Canada? No, this is vintage Trump negotiating. Stake out a maximum position, exert leverage, and don't worry much about the collateral damage, even with your closest allies. It's also an exercise in selective facts. What a surprise. Here's what the president said when he signed the order. Quote, "Our factories were left to rot and to rust all over the place. Thriving communities turned into ghost towns. The workers who poured their souls into building this great nation were betrayed. But that betrayal is now over," he said. Really? All because the price of steel and aluminum produced in foreign mills? Oversimplification doesn't begin to describe it. Sectors of American industry got walloped for decades for a whole lot of different reasons, and trade rules are only one of them. Cheap foreign steel prices didn't cause General Motors to lose money building mediocre cars. Credit for that goes to bad decision-making and lazy management, and pricey labor costs didn't help. The politics of all this are suspect, too. Trump won the Electoral College with big assists from voters in the industrial heartland, especially in Michigan. An escalating trade war that embroils more parts of the manufacturing economy or spreads to the Midwest agricultural sectors could undercut economic growth and further slow already plateauing auto sales. That's hardly the makings of a robust Trump re-election campaign around here come 2020. I'm Daniel Howes of the Detroit News.